has him have the staff. Come on, there's careful of wine. We've been learning about the Ibn Yasaska's life, Svi Elimelech and Dinov from Unkach. We've been learning about his life, and we've been, during the discussions of learning about the Ibn Yasaska's life, we've also been learning some of his Torah, some of his teachings, and we have a lot more to go on in that area. But the pages that you have in front of you is really something quite extraordinary. I said last week that the next subject we're going to be dealing with in the life of the Ibn Yasaska is his role as a Kabbalist, as a Mekubal. Now, obviously, we cannot study Kabbalistic writings in the context of this class or any other for the time being. We'll see Mitzvah Shem when the veils can be taken off in the right way, in the right time. So that also will happen. That's not for now. But we certainly are allowed to learn the following pieces that we're going to see now, which I'm going to begin to work on. I mentioned last week, and it's important to have a historical feel for what was happening. There was something of a split that was developing in the Hasidic world itself between those tzaddikim who took upon themselves to openly discuss Kabbalistic topics. And although all Chassidus have certain Kabbalistic ingredients, have ingredients of Kabbalah, or else it wouldn't work. But as we'll see in a little while, the majority of Tzaddikim, of the Adamarim of the Rebbes, had a remarkable way of disguising the Kabbalistic concepts in very day-to-day, real, inspirational teachings, so that one walked away with the impression that I did not study something that was Kabbalah, I was learning something else, and in order to make the point, the Rebbe introduced or touched upon certain Kabbalistic concepts. That was one school of thought, and that included the great tzaddikim of the Polish Rebbes, of the schools of Poland, the Seer of Lublin, the Rebbe Elimelech, and so on. On the other side, we had the schools of Chabad, Kamarna, Zidichov, and Breslov, who were teaching concepts that were not only using, were not only borrowing ideas from Kabbalah, but were instead primarily based upon Kabbalah. When we're talking about especially Kamarna and Zidichov, these are basically running commentaries on the Zohar and on the Kisvari, on the writings of the Arizal and the Zohar. Chabad, of course, is its own unique system, and Breslov is its own unique system. But all of these schools share in common a direct use of Kabbalistic sources, undisguised Kabbalistic sources. A, even though Rabbi Nachman was constantly insisting upon simplicity. We've already discussed this in the past, that whoever mistakes Rabbi Nachman's simplicity with something simple is simply making a serious mistake. Doesn't mean just simple stuff. It wasn't the kind of booklets that are just passing around, sweet little nice vertlach. It was Rabbi Nachman's teachings are the deepest. And they're openly, secrets are being openly revealed in those teachings of Rabbi Nachman, and he suffered because of that. As did all these other tzaddikim. As did the Chav and Kamarna. They all shared in common direct use of Kabbalistic sources in undisguised form. What else they shared in common was that both the Chassidish Rabbis and the Misnagdim despised them. We're not despised them, we're against them. We're opposed to them. Not Chalila despised, but we're opposed to them. And Ad Hayyim, to this day, if there would be a major school of Zidichov or Kamarna, they would have gone through and would be going through the similar type of difficulties that Chabad and Breslov have had through the years, and particularly in modern times. And I'm discussing, when I say Chabad and Breslov in modern times, I don't mean splinter groups. I mean the teachings of Chabad and Breslov. I'm not talking about, any kooks anywhere. That's not the point of my discussion. You have, unfortunately, the more holy something is, and the more spiritual something is, and the deeper and more precious something is, obviously, there's more of a danger of these things being misused. And we've seen We've seen terrible damage taking place in both of those schools of Chabad and Breslov. And where does the Bnei Yisrael fit in? The Bnei Yisrael, I personally feel, stands between them. Between them. And he's and in his short life, the Bnei Yisrael, to some degree, was trying to make peace between those two ways. Whether or not he was successful, it's hard to say. I mean, I do personally believe that he did make some great contribution in that way of trying to make peace between these two worlds. And I'm not talking about the Misnagdim and the Hasidim. He wasn't interested in making peace with the Misnagdim. That wasn't his concern with those who were opposed to Hasidus. It was a question of gaining acceptance for more openly Kabbalistic view of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, or use of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, while not sacrificing the appeal that Hasidus had to the masses. And that was a very important thing for the tzaddikim. You have to keep in mind, this is not only doctrine that was being taught. This is not a subject that was being studied. These were live tzaddikim with living Hasidim, most of whom were suffering under terrible, terrible persecution, poverty, right? And the tzaddikim the tzaddikim had to speak to their hearts, and not only to address them intellectually, but had to mechazik them. And that was a real concern, to give them a reason to live, and to show them how their lives were important. Therefore, for anybody who thinks that the Baal HaTanya, for instance, the Baal HaTanya was somebody that just delivered these very profound Hasidic discourses to a group of elite Hasidim, is making a mistake. He had a separate group like that. He had a certain cheder, a certain group of great tzaddikim whom he studied with, and others were not allowed to enter into that group. But to a large extent, when he spoke to the masses, when he spoke to the large groups of people, he addressed them in a sweet and simple way, and spoke directly to their hearts. So the Bnei Soscha was trying to stand between those two worlds and find the proper balance between what is those secrets that should remain secrets and those secrets that can be revealed, but in a way that could still provide the people with chizik, with strengthening, and with simcha, and with joy, and to positively affect the Avodas Hashem without, so to speak, blowing them away, without destroying them, without having a shvirus hakelim, a shattering of the vessels. Now, what we have in front of us, there's a remarkable and small, very famous and controversial sefer, a kuntris, that was written by the Holy Rebbe, Rabbi Hirschel Zidichover, that's called Sur Meirav V'Asei Toiv. Basically, this is an expanded form of a letter that he sent to one of his greatest opponents, not as a person, God forbid, but as far as his teachings were concerned, the Ohev Yisrael, the old Rebbe of the generation, the famous Rebbe from Apt, the Apter Rav. The Apter Rav was so opposed to this method of expounding upon teachings of Kabbalah in public that he actually contributed to the laws restricting the publication of the printing of Svarim of Kabbalistic nature. And he was very much behind that, because he felt that people like Rabbi Hirschel Zidichover and the Tzaddikim of Chabad and others, who, although he respected and loved deeply on a personal level, and he attended their simchas and everything, but on a doctrinal level, he was opposed to the revelation of secrets that were taking place, which he felt it was harmful. He felt it was harmful for them individually as people. Unfortunately, most of the tzaddikim in our history who revealed secrets met early deaths and had tzaras and so on. And on a national, on a larger scale, the Ohev Yisrael, the Rebbe from Apt, and other tzaddikim who agreed with him felt that the people could God forbid, be misled into the kind of a frenzy that they remembered only too well from the time of Shabbosai Tzvi, Yimach Shema. And therefore, they were very, very worried about how this would affect the people, A, and B, that Hasidus should not be able to be used as an instrument in the hands of would-be messiahs, of other would-be messiahs, or charismatic and dangerous people, who could mislead, who could easily mislead people who had deep, deep faith in Kabbalah, deep belief in Kabbalah. And That's where the Bnei Salsa comes into the picture. At that time, in this place, and at the same time, what was happening, what was developing and gaining strength each and every day, as we spoke about the last few weeks, was the movement of the Haskalah, the Enlightenment, which saw Kabbalah as its arch enemy. As its arch enemy, they were irrational. That was the rationalists were seeking to rescue the Jews from superstitions. To rescue the Jews from what they considered to be this phony mysticism that led to the near destruction of our people, Shabtai Tzvi, that could have led to such, God forbid, such a thing, to what they believe was the absurd, anti-rational movement of Hasidism, which they thought as being the major cause of anti-Semitism. They saw these movements as encouraging anti-Semitism. They were trying to encourage Jews to look more like Europeans and to talk more like Europeans. And as long as you remain embedded in these ridiculous superstitions and follow these wonder-working rabbis, they're going to hate us. They're going to hate us. So the Bnei Yisrael has to fight against the rationalists. And because of his brilliance as a scholar, he was able to fight them on their own turf. And on the other hand, he had to worry about this very thin line between acceptable Kabbalistic teachings for the generation and that which would perhaps be non-acceptable. Now, the Bnei Sosker, as we spoke about last time, was a friend, a close friend of Rabbi Hirschel Zitachava. They were both students by the Seer of Lublin. But I mentioned last week, and we'll see now again, this little introduction of the Bnei Sosker is autobiographical. You'll see in a minute. That the Bnei Sosker wrote notes to this book, Sumer Rav HaSeitayv, which is quite in itself a remarkable thing, to write notes on a contemporary scholar, a tzaddik, who was a chaver of his, but you'll see why he wrote notes. And this was recently reprinted. I have an old one from a long time ago. It was recently reprinted, and they did a wonderful job, because not only is it easy to read, but they also took from all the Bnei Sosker svarim, and they made additional notes in the back to supplement the notes that the Bnei Sosker himself wrote on the actual treaties of Rabbi Hirschel Zitachava, his friend. So these are notes from Maharitsa. Maharitsa is Maharet Rab Tzvi Elimelech. That's the Bnei Sosker. Notes that he wrote, strengthening the position of his friend Rabbi Hirschel Zitachava, in certain ways toning it down a little bit, and strengthening it while toning it down and making it more acceptable to the Hamonam, to the masses, and presenting his position on the subject of the study of Kabbalah in public and in an open format. And and this is not only there's not only his notes, it's an entire sefer, as you can see. It's not just a little work, but not only is it important in terms of scholarship and understanding Chassidus and what was happening at that time, Chassidus, it's also a remarkable feeling for the men, for who we're talking about. I mean, on our Madrega to understand the Bnei Sosker. So let's begin. The first page is the Hakdama. And then we'll learn a couple of selections where the Bnei Sosker traces the development of Kabbalistic teaching till the time of the Baal Shem Tov. And then he tells us what he sees the responsibility of the students of the Baal Shem Tov to do in our times in terms of teaching Kabbalah and how it should be taught. And if you're able to get the Sefer and this is something that needs to be very, very carefully learned. Both Rabbi Hirschel Zitachava and the commentary of the Bnei Sosker. So let's try now to do this introduction, the Hakdama. Hakdama Zarav HaKadosh Marenu Rab Tzvi Elimelech Midinav. Now I want to just tell you that also when we do this over the next few weeks, there are certain things I'm not going to translate because it's not appropriate. Even in his notes, there are certain things that are not for us right now. So I'm just going to skip over those things, and Mitzvah Hashem, when we'll have wider beards and we'll be wiser, and so on, and more God fearing, we'll come back to it. Arev malai divrei dodim. Look how beautifully he begins. How sweet he says they are to me, the words of my beloved friends. The words of my beloved, of those who are loved. Asher hifli etze, who's had this. He says, my friend who's had this wondrous idea, Higdil Sushia, and he's strengthened, given great strength, Kvod HaRav HaChosid HaKadosh HaMefursim, the honor of the great, righteous, and holy, famous Rebbe, Butzina D'Nahara, the pillar of light, Kvod Shemo Marein Harab Tzvi Hirsch Mizidichav. It's nice to have friends like that. And he says, I was privileged to spend some time in his presence. And I found and I have seen myself. That the heart of the Rav, meaning the heart of Rav Hishel Zidichov, was overflowing with the holy wisdom, the wisdom of Kabbalah. And I have hardly seen or heard in our generation anyone who could be compared to him. Who has such a profound understanding of the wondrous wisdom of Kabbalah. Now listen, I mentioned this to you a little bit last time, but look how beautiful it is when you read in the Bnei Sos's own words. Umiyom amdi al da'ati. From the time that I began to think on my own, ha'isi mishtokek ma'od l'chachma halazu. I was filled with a deep yearning and longing for this wisdom of Kabbalah. Ach liyo shalom atzasi li sa'ad usmach v'haskoma mechach mihador. But since I did not have the agreement and the support of the sages of the generation, asher olo l'shamayim siyam. So he's referring to his great rebellion, meaning the Chayzer from Lublin and the Rebbe Mendel from Rimanov. See, Koshin Samagid is hard to figure out. Koshin Samagid also was, in terms of Kabbalah, he didn't cover things so much, and he wrote, we have notes from him on the Zohar Kodesh and so on. But he certainly did not have the Rishus of Mendel Rimanover and of the Chayzer, who were his main rebbein. Those were his main teachers. Heim Rabbi Senu HaKadoshim Nochei Nefesh, our holy masters who have passed away. Asher Bevadai, Havani Hirin Lohu Shvilin Derekiah. Certainly to them, the pathways of heaven were clear. In other words, I don't want you to think that my teachers, my masters, were not great Kabbalists. They were great Mekubalim. As we know, they were great Mekubalim. But V'histiru HaChochma HaZoz B'mesek L'shonim. They knew how to hide this wisdom of Kabbalah in the sweetness of their language. They knew how to conceal the Kabbalistic things and the sweetness of, in their presentation. Kasher bozneinu shamanu, as I heard with my own ears. Ratikach ozneinu shemetz mehem. And I have myself, he says, in a modest way, I've been able to take a little bit from that. I mean, had to do that. He's very humble because he's one of the greatest masters of all time in that. Vein dorish vein mevakesh midalas harm lesboinim bepnimis divrehem. And there was no one who sought, or there was no one who asked from the common people, from the rest of the people who have sought to try to understand the deeper hidden meaning of what my teachers were talking about. In other words, they listened to the beautiful teachings and the chizik and so on, and the average person wasn't tuned into the deeper Kabbalistic undertones, so they accepted it for what it was to them. Umigodel masra habusha shehut ba'abi. Listen how beautiful he says. And because of the natural, great, he says, masva actually means a veil or disguise, a mask of busha, of shyness, he says, of shyness, ashehut bo'abi, that is my nature, that I'm by nature very shy and very withdrawn. Lahayli pischon pemi olam. I never opened my mouth, I never had the courage. Lahayiz bifnei rabosai. To have the azizpanim, to have the nerve, to actually confront my teachers, lishol es pihem, and ask their opinion. Binyani hasagas achachma v'nagasa. I didn't dare ask them to explain to me, to teach me the rules and regulations, so to speak, of how one can go about gaining knowledge in this great chachma of Kabbalah. And how to lead a life of Kabbalah. Al kein ma'olam ha'yisi osigba rak b'derech ratzav v'shoiv. See, he doesn't say I never touched this stuff. He says, therefore, I was always learning it in a way of running and returning. I would do a little bit, but then I would turn away from it. I would go a little bit near, and then I would turn away. I was afraid. V'gam b'zol se'yisi l'famim l'moshul l'shnina v'sicha b'fi habriyas. Listen to this. And for the little that I became involved in it, and I was studying it sort of without my teacher's permission. The little that I was learning, I already became something that was I became a person who was questionable and was the conversation piece of other people, meaning of other tzaddikim. That I was learning these things, that I was looking into these things. My chaveim didn't appreciate that I was doing it. Kahayom shagam rabuseinu hakadoshim holchil menuchas. Now he says, now our holy masters have died, have left this world. Ein lonu meshivas nefesh hashokekav hatzmei el Hashem ke'eretz ayifa. There is no longer anything that can restore my soul. Now my rabbis are gone. I can no longer hold back. There is nothing left in this world that can restore my soul, that can give me back my strength and my spirit, which is longing for Hashem like parched earth. V'olah b'dayti shezosi eitza ha-hogenis la-nefoshos ha-ne'enochos. And it came into my mind that this is the only advice, the only cure, and the most fitting cure to those souls who are krechsing, who are sighing, who are suffering as a result of the loss of the tzaddikim. La'asok b'chokhma ha-neflo hazu. It's an amazing thing he's saying that. It was to be oisik in that chokhma that they didn't want me to be oisik in. To become involved in learning this chachma. Vashem yizbarach yeh be'ezram, ki lo yazov es chasidiv. May Hashem help, and may Hashem never abandon those who are close to Him. Ukvar nishmu dvarenu lefnei anshei gileinu. I've already begun to speak. I've already begun to teach in front of people, men of my age, of my time, of my persuasion. Hachafetzim bekirvaseinu darshehem, who seek closeness to me, who are seeking the truth. Ach liyo shenafshi yodas ma'od shval archi. But since my own soul knows more than anyone how humble and how low I am, how worthless I am. Umatza v'gasus achoymer hamoneya, and how physical matter and physical things so prevent me from being who I need to become. Ein li deyam yushevis lahasmech as a chaver makshivim. I don't have a clear mind. I don't know how to give permission or smicha and to strengthen those who are coming to listen to me, or liatzam, to how to advise them, banhagas limud hachachma, how to advise them in terms of their own personal odysseys, their own personal longing to study this wondrous chachma of Kabbalah. I don't know how to advise them. Vinekeiz zachisi. He says, now I am worthy. Lakabu pnei api ravervei. Harava chosidam makubal hanal, that I am privileged now to accept or to greet the great illuminated face of Harava chosidam makubal, of the great makubal Rav Hirschel Zidichov. Uri isiv molei vegodish begdushas hachochma muflor halazu, and I see how he is filled, overflowing with this holy wisdom of Kabbalah. Ukvar hoyel pischan pel of fun of binyani hachochma. And I've discussed with him matters of this chachma of Kabbalah. Vine otsam hishtadluso, his great effort, legalus chachma nal. In other words, Reb Hirschel Zidichov's greatest longing is to reveal the secrets of Kabbalah. To reveal the secrets. To spread the word. Ulhafitz al pnei tevel, sevel ein l'shar. I can't even describe, he's saying to us, the reader. You have no idea what efforts Reb Hirschel Zidichov has been making to reveal the secrets of Kabbalah and to cause them to penetrate within Klal Yisrael, to become part of Klal Yisrael's life. And today he says, I received a ksav yad, a manuscript of the great Kabbalist. Asher pa'al v'asah ke'ein hakdama l'sifrei Eitz Chaim. That Reb Hirschel Zidichov has written what can be seen as an introduction to the writings of the Arizal. An introduction to the writings of the Arizal. Asher hizil zohav mikiso. And Reb Hirschel Zidichov, not only has he devoted his spiritual energy to this, but he has spent a fortune of money. Reb Hirschel has spent a fortune of money. Lahatfisa. To print. Lafisam, to print his writings. Lafisam, and to publicize this, distribute them. Apnei seva lahagdala taira. Yehi Hashem alokav imo, may God be with him. Udvarv divr lukim chayim. His words are like burning fires to stir the hearts of the Jewish people to go to burst into flames and to seek the Chochmas Emes, the wisdom of truth. And how many great principles of faith can one learn from his pure words? And as I've read some of this Sefer, meaning Sumer Rabbi Seitov that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman wrote, I've seen a number of things that I myself have, that Hashem has helped me to that I've already discussed and thought about. Things that I've taught in my Beis Medrash. The Kamed Vorm Ruinu, Shadolan Harava Chosid Anal Chasba Vashkachna Taisim Aganisa. There are many things where I see that the Harava now, meaning Rabbi Hishel Zedichava, has left very precious pearls hidden under things that appear on the surface to be simple. I need to explain them for other people to understand. Romanian Lenin by Sainian Nisrachavu Hadvorm to expound upon his teachings. Now, therefore, I want myself to publish the teaching, the sefer of Harava Chazad Anal of Rabbi Hishel Zedichava, Liyoslam is Keres Lanshe Gilenu, that it should be remembered and studied by our chaverim. Im Eza Taisophus Milan, I have added a few words of my own. Ashachanani Hashem's Bechad Hashem has, in His mercy, granted me the ability to teach. Vehinini Noeg Behem Tovas Ayin. And I will be generous with these ideas that I've had to engrave them upon the hearts of my chaverim and makshivim velo lezulas v'day lemeivin. It's hard to know exactly what he means there. In other words, it's as if he's saying, I only want these notes to go amongst my own chassidim, my own talmidim, and not to be, and that the, my own personal notes were not meant for the, were not meant for widespread publication. Well, that didn't work out. I mean, they have been very widely publicized. My whole point here is to try to understand and to explain the teachings of the Rav, Rav Hishel Zedichava, Pam Kemoisiv. Sometimes I add on a little bit of Pam Kemefarish, sometimes I explain. And you, my friends, Kishayu Hadvarm Haile Lenegan and Echem, when these words will be before your eyes, telchu levetach darchechem, you will be able to walk securely upon your path to Hashem. Yeh Hashem elokeinu imanu. May Hashem be with us. Al yazveinu v'al yitshenu. May he never leave us. May he never forsake us. Now that in itself is a masterpiece in Chassidish writings. Now we're not going to learn from the actual Sefer of Rabbi Hishel Zedichava, Mitzvah Hashem, in the future. When we talk about the Rebbe Rabbi Hishel, then we'll discuss the actual Chibur, this Sefer of Sumer Rav HaSeitov. But our interest now is in how the Bnei Sosher establishes the historical background and credentials, kivyachol, for what Rabbi Hishel Zedichava plans on doing. Now, a lot of this Sefer consists of warnings or conditions that are necessary for individuals to learn Kabbalah. So, it's Rabbi Hishel Zedichava, remember, was trying to calm down the other tzaddikim who were very angry about what he was doing and felt it was very dangerous. And therefore, Rabbi Hishel Zedichava made it clear that his intentions were to conform to the accepted rules dictating who is allowed to study Kabbalah. And if you learn the Sefer Sumer Rav HaSeitov, I don't know if there's anybody in the generation that could move ahead to the next step, because the rules are so unbelievably strict. And it's remarkable to think that in those days there were so many people that were able to live according to those guidelines. They're very, very strict guidelines. Maybe just for fun, in a couple of weeks, we'll go through a couple of them, but you'll see the kind of, when I say, you know, I don't mean fun, Chas V'Shalom, in a disrespectful way. I mean, but when you see the kind of guidelines that were there, and if you want to learn the Svarim, you have to do this, and after this, you have to be on this level, and this, and you have to, and certain Seder with a purification, with mikvah, and with tefillin, tikkun chatzos, and with how much to learn, and with fasting, and a way of life, you know, by the time you're finished with that, you know, he said, all right, maybe I'll, you know, just, you know, stick to stories of the tzaddikim. And said, no, we'll leave this stuff to greater people than ourselves. And this is all by the tzaddikim who were trying to spread this chachma. But they were warning. There were many warnings that were attached. It came with a lot of instructions. It's not stam. And unfortunately, there are many people who have not kept these things in mind. And if they would have been kept in mind, and they would have been strictly adhered to, so we'd have a lot less tzaras in the world now. A lot less tzaras. Because the power, as we're going to see, the great energy and strength of the teachings of Kabbalah is to bring the gula. There's no more powerful weapon to bring Mashiach Tzidkenu. But on the other hand, when they're being misused and they're being taught in the wrong way, there's no powerful weapon to prevent the coming of Mashiach, as a distortion of the secrets of Torah. So therefore, the tzaddikim were very, very careful. Where it says Aleph Vav on the bottom, where it says we're going to be only learning the smaller print, Ha'isafim Ha'itza, because those are the notes of the Bnei Yisrael. Those are the Ha'isafos of Moreinu Rab Tzvi Elimelech. Amar HaMoisif. The one who is adding has said, me, myself, in order that these true teachings of this wisdom should be properly appreciated by those who study it, so that you should not, God forbid, try to embrace foreign chachmas. Remember, another thing that's important to mention here is that part of that, a major part of the Bnei Yisrael's strategy in fighting against the Haskalah, in fighting against the Enlightenment, was through the teaching of Kabbalah. Whereas the Maskilim saw the Kabbalah as their archenemy, Bnei Yisrael readily agreed to that. And he felt that, and it's very hard to disagree with him in retrospect, that because the Jews of Europe were being now exposed to Western civilization, modern concepts, and art and music, philosophy, science, all these things were beginning to proliferate in the ghettos. They were beginning to make their way into the little shtetlach. So the Bnei Saska felt that if we don't open up the minds of our people, if we don't expose them to a more profound level of Yiddishkeit, they're going to get lost. They're going to be lost because secular wisdom, Chochmas Chitzonius, which, you know, he violently was opposed to, but secular knowledge at that time had become a threat for the Jews. It never was. In the past, maybe in the golden era in Spain, but for the communities of Europe, to a large extent, this is not something that they were threatened by. It didn't really have very little hold over them. It didn't affect them. Huh? Didn't have much of a hold over anyone. Well, you're right. The vast majority of the population of Europe were steeped in superstition and the darkness of the Middle Ages. That's true. But at this point in time, Europe was climbing out of that, and because of that, there were concepts that were being made available to the Jewish people, and they were being talked about on the streets. Of course, by the time the 19th century rolled around, the end of the 19th century, this became a real, real danger in the communities and so on. I'm not going to go through the history right now, which you're familiar with anyway. But the Bnei Sosker realized that you can't just gather together all the people by the Rebbe's tish and, you know, sing a niggin and say a maisa and tell them a nice vart and then send them happily on their ways to go back to work. That's all beautiful and fine. And they did that also. But they felt that there had to be something to stimulate them intellectually and to stimulate them emotionally on a deeper, deeper level, but to fill their minds with something of the profound truth of Torah. Where he, and you'll see this in this introduction, that he understands that in earlier generations he couldn't have done this and he wouldn't have dared to accept such teachings of Rav Hissel Zichov or himself to talk about these things in public. But he said, but we can't wait now. We must because the Jewish people are at stake. And if we don't do it now, then God forbid, we're going to lose. That's why he says over here that so that nobody should go and embrace the chayk, the, And Nochriya Chokhmas Chitzoni is to have to go searching after foreign, outside, external wisdom. We don't need any of that. Says Atik Imre Kodesh Mashakosar Rava Kodesh Besifra Vayakal Moshe Betachlus Akitzer Hatzorach Lininenium Ksaz Bi Vaisaf Mokam Mstara. He now is quoting a Sefer Vayakal Moshe. It's not quoting. He is paraphrasing and explaining in his own words a teaching from the Sefer Vayakal Moshe. But that is something that really, much of this is his own interpretation. And he writes the following. Parts he quotes and parts he explains. Vezel Lashonim. He says, Harishan Adam Yulad. Haraya mehimna, hakarlo nishmas Yisrael, hanitzoytz hakodesh atzulim imena butzina kadisha harash bi. He says that first we must begin by mentioning the one who was born, the raya mehimna, the loyal shepherd, who included within his soul all of the souls of the Jewish people, the holy spark, and the pillar of light, harash bi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught us that the overall purpose, the general purpose of creation of the world and of man and all that's in it, is in order to reveal to the world the great strength, the greatness of Elokus, of Hashem, of his godliness and his chesed and his kindness and his strength and his power and his glory. You know the God of your father and serve him. To know about Hashem. The greatest nachas that Hashem Yisbaruch can have in this world is with someone who recognizes his God, that recognizes their Baruch Shalom, that recognizes godliness, Elokus. Zen Nikra Ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such a person is called, is truly worthy, we're all Hashem's children, but is truly worthy of being called Hashem's child. V'yesh lo rishus, now he's saying something from the Zohar, L'chapis begin Zayid Malka. Means the Zohar teaches the difference between a child and a slave, a servant. That the servant is only allowed to go in the places in the palace where he's given permission to go. It's only if the king says, go here and get that. But if the servant, if the slave, goes into a room that he's not permitted entrance into, he'll be killed. He's not allowed to go into some place where it's not his. Mashayna came, but it's not the case with the Ben HaMelech, with the son. The child of the king has nachas davke. If the child is curious and goes to look, begins Zayi the Malki and the treasuries and the secret archives of the family. That's the joy and the nachas of the father, not for the servant to go snooping around. So what reveals the madrega of a ben, of a true child, is that he's not satisfied with the surface. He's not satisfied with the superficial, external awareness of the king, of his father. He wants to really know who his father is. He really wants to go bring Zayed the Malkia to the treasure houses of the king, to go deeper, to uncover more of his father's greatness. The servant doesn't want to do that. The servant does his job. You do what you have to do. But the Ben, the one who loves the king, it's not just a matter of doing his job. He wants to know. And he has permission. Every Jew has permission. The Chapez begins Zayed HaMalka. Kamar Ben HaMachapez begins Zayed HaMalka. Meblina Tils Rishus. He doesn't have to ask permission. The son. Mashayn can have it. And the Zohar tells us that Hashem takes pride. When Hashem sees a Jew who's trying to dig deep into the treasury, who's a child of the king, Hashem takes pride in front of all the malachim. He says, do you see that person down there? Do you see that one? That's my son. Look what a son, look what a child I have. He's not just interested in following orders. He wants to understand. He wants to know me. And the image of that child, is nirsham, is engraved among those who are lovers of the king. And the malachim, the Zohar says it, that the malachim, the angels, are warning each other, be aware, be careful.
of the Dyukna de Plonia, of the image, so to speak, obviously a spiritual thing, of that child of the king. In other words, that child of the king, if he wants something, he'll get it. And you have to treat him with great respect. The Malachim are all afraid of such a Jew. Because Baruch Hu Goyzer, Hashem makes decrees. V'hu yesh lo rishus levatel. And the tzaddik has the power, that tzaddik who's on the madrega of being a ben, a child, he has the koach to be mevatel, to nullify, to annul the decrees of the king himself. At the time that the neshama descends into this lowest world, and the soul takes an oath, koidin, before it comes into this world. Before the Zohar says, before the neshama comes into this world, Hashem shows his treasuries. Hashem shows his secrets to the neshama. That means that each and every one of us has up as a vague recollection. There's something there. We once saw those Raza de Razan, the secret places, things. Oitrus, the Gnozen de Malka, the treasuries and the hidden treasures of the king. And the Neshama has to swear. The Geizen are learning is decreed upon her. That the Neshama swears that it'll be faithful and loyal to carry out its main mission, which is what? To seek out and to investigate the secret and deeper meanings of Torah. The gam hichrachti mikama mamori zoyel harashbi nit mishus v'hormen mikut shabrichu shchinta im kol pamal yishaloi. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai revealed in the Zohar that permission was given by Hashem, by the Shechina, the divine presence of Hashem, and all of the Malachim and Kol and Pamalia, all the heavenly hosts, that permission has now been given. The Tzir of Kol HaNeshomas, the Tzadikai, the Gan Eden, Elion, the Sachtoin, in agreement with the permission of all the Tzadikim, in the highest level of paradise, meaning the Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sar, Ruch, 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 the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, I now have permission. Permission has been granted to me by Hashem Yisbarach, the Shechina, by the Malachim, and by all the Tzaddikim who are already in paradise. Legalos lanu hazayir, to reveal the teachings of the Zohar. Zihara da'ima ilah, the ima ilah, the shining light of the supernal mother. Misham yotzei la'olam chayim v'shalom raza d'raisa, and from there will come forth into the world life and peace, secrets of Torah. Hagu'ula, redemption will come, v'acheris, and freedom, v'asimcha, and joy. Without the Zohar HaKadosh, there cannot be. Without the Zohar HaKadosh, there cannot be redemption, there cannot be simcha, there cannot be freedom without the Zohar HaKadosh. That's why it says in the Zohar HaKadosh itself, that the Sifra Dor, the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, that with my Sefer, with the Sefer of the Zohar HaKadosh, we're going to greet Mashiach Tzikeim. And by arousing and awakening ourselves down below here in this world to study these teachings, we will awaken and we will open up the highest source of blessing. Vuhu, meaning Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Gilanu, Hey Pirkei Safrad Itzniyusa. He has revealed to us, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the five chapters that's called Safrad Itzniyusa, which is a part of the Zohar Kaddish. It's called the Safra Ditznayasa. There's a famous introduction of the Vilna Gaon wrote on the Safra Ditznayasa. V'Adra Rabba V'Zuta, in the sections of the Zohar that are called Adra Rabba and Zuta. Uvahem hayakai lo kol ha'olamis, and in those sections of the Zohar, of the Safra Ditznayasa and Adra Rabba and Zuta, Rabbi Shimon included all the olamis, all worlds. That's a concept in Kabbalah that we're not going to talk about. The Bnei Sasa writes here in parentheses that Akudim, Nakudim, and Brudim, which, as you know, is talking about the words you're familiar with from the Chumash, is talking about the different is talking about the genetic work that Yaakov Avinu did with the flock of Lavan, you remember? With the stripes and the spots. That amazing section of Torah that according to Kabbalah has the deepest teachings of the world are contained in that amazing episode in Chumash with the different animals that Yaakov was breeding. And the Oilamas of Ilkudim and the Kudim and Brudim, which equal the Gematria Shabbos, he says here in the note. But that's for another time. On page Gimel. So he says, so in these svarim, or in these sections of the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon included all of the deepest secrets of all worlds. All the soidus of the Bria, and the tachlis, and the purpose of the Bria. And he says, I ain't coming, can't talk about it right now. V'churbanon v'tikunan. And in those sections of the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon reveals the reasons for all destruction and all tikkun and all repair of all worlds. The worlds that were destroyed before this world, that were created and destroyed. But Rabbi Shimon in the Zohar gave this all in a remiza muchletis, an absolute hint, in a very secretive way that's only by way of a hint. Because Rabbi Shimon knew that at his time the world at large was not yet prepared. The Jewish people as a whole were not yet prepared to delight in the hidden light. Therefore he wrote everything in a very, very mysterious and concealed way in the Zohar. Ki lo haya eisu zman lisnoitzeitz nitzutzei haneshama sh'olam atikin v'olam abira. Which the time had not yet come. For those sparks of the souls of the world of rectification, v'olam habirur, for the time of the clarification and rectification hadn't yet arrived. V'hayuroin hasaydes elu k'dechazei inish basa koyselu pargudin. Therefore, at that time, if those secrets would have been openly revealed by Rabbi Shimon in an easy way, in an open way, then unworthy people whose souls were not yet from the souls of rectification for the end of time would have been peeking beyond the wall and the curtains in the wrong place. So he explains the Bnei Sosir, that's why the Bnei Sosir says that all the great masters of the generations, Lafuke Amor HaKadosh Rabbi Shimon HaYochai V'Chavei V'Kadoshim, that's why all of the great secrets of Kabbalah were hidden by the Tanoim and Amoraim in the great vast ocean of the Talmud. But if you look in the Gemara, you read the Gemara, you see certain things there, and I got it there, Rabbi Bar Chanan, the stories, that you think, what is going on over here? And they told these things that make no sense to people. And all of these are hiding and concealing deep secrets of Kabbalah. Shem Ramaz Ein Mispa L'Saitis Eilu. In the Gemara, there is an infinite amount of hints to this wisdom, to these secrets. Ashrei L'Hadoifek Al Psochov V'Ametzis Mecharakov. And fortunate is the one who is knocking on her doors and peeking through her cracks. In other words, are those who are deepening their understanding of Gemara to look into the secrets of the Gemara and the Saitis that are being concealed there. K'deisa B'Zoya Gadol B'Zoya Chadosh. The Achrav, and after him, after Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Komu Yuchidei Skula B'chol Dor V'dor, there were individual great men in each generation who rose up, La'amud L'hagin Aleinu, who defended and protected us, La'hatzalei Sonim B'limud HaChochma Azayis Mekom HaKatreg, and they protected us from any evil force that would harm us because of the study of these things. V'oskub HaChochma Azayis Al Pi Eliyo V'ruach HaKadosh, and in the generations they studied these teachings Al Pi Eliyo, which they learned from Eliyahu Hanavi in the Ruach HaKadosh, Ayidei Magidim, or through the intermediaries of Megidim, of certain koiches of Malachim from above, that would act as intermediaries to give over certain teachings. Vayiskim Rak Ba'ilim HaKudim Mekudim, the Yotzvirus Mitzad Sharish Nishmaseyim, HaGa'inim Yechidei Skula Shachreim, HaYoyidim Yisayid Oilim HaTikun, HaKoyim Chiyov Mahastid Divreim Vayisazman. And even in those generations, they couldn't reveal everything. They were only revealing what was permitted at that time, even though they knew these secrets. They only began to reveal what was for that time. And they knew what was allowed at that time to be revealed. And he says, Foik Chazi Mashaheyu Harizal al Haravid Ramban. And we know that the Ravid and the Ramban, two of the most famous halachic masters of the Rishonim, were a great, awesome Mekubalim. But the Ravid we have is commentary on the Sefer Yetzirah. I mean, there's this disagreement which Ravid wrote that Hakdama to the Sefer, an explanation of the Book of Creation. And the Ramban's commentary on Chumash is already is intertwined with so many great and deep mysteries that all the Mekubalim have seen in the writings of the Ramban the deepest secrets of Kabbalah being hidden, being concealed. I will have to stop here. Mitzvashem, maybe this week Mashiach will come, and then we'll be able to learn these things the way they're supposed to be learned. But in the meantime, let's stay tuned for learning it on our Madrega, the simple Jews. Shkoyach.